This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Jonathan Franzen, you probably know, is one of America's greatest novelists. And he's also written some terrific essays for The New Yorker about conservation and nature. He's a huge bird watcher, all the more so since he moved to the California coast. Recently, we asked Jonathan to take us to his favorite place to go birding. And he drove out there with the Radio Hour's Rhiannon Corby. But it wasn't quite as picturesque as you'd imagine.
We are driving into Moonglow Dairy on a dirt road, which thankfully is dry. When it rains here, it can be basically just an ocean of manure. And a bird just flew across. That was a western meadowlark, one of my favorite birds, but I say that about almost every bird, so I can't be trusted. Huge power lines overhead, so we're painting a picture of a pretty industrial-feeling place. There's a power plant down less than a mile away at Moss Landing. We just went underneath, like, about 100 high-tension wires. I'm just going to park here.
My God, the sound.
I brought some binoculars for you.
We're about a half hour south of Santa Cruz. About halfway down Monterey Bay, which is a glorious, deep ocean bay known for its spectacular wealth of all kinds of life, particularly whales, octopuses, and seabirds. And branching off that bay is this estuary, which we are approaching, Elkhorn Slough. So Moonglow Dairy is on the edge of Elkhorn Slough. And we are in some of the richest and most intensely farmed agricultural land in North America here on the edge of Monterey Bay. And there's always high demand for manure, so the suspicion is that they make more money selling the manure than they do selling the milk. When I come here, I like to look for rails. And rails are very, very furtive, very narrow birds. The expression thin as a rail is not referring actually to a railroad track. It is referring to a bird because they look, when you look at them sideways, they look like chickens or something. But when you look at them head on, they're incredible. It's like a chicken that's been flattened. And that's to help them sneak around in reeds and tall grass.
Can you talk about how you got into birding? I want to get a sense of why you spend so much of your time doing it.
Well, the short answer to the question of why do I bird, and here's a greater yellowlegs, can be answered simply by pointing a scope at almost any of these birds and saying, have a look. Aren't they beautiful? we're just standing here basically doing nothing, and naked eye, I'm seeing 20 species of bird, each of them beautiful in its own way. Look at that. Look at the Forster's Tern just did it. It's going to try, is it going to do it again? Yep. Diving for little fish. There's always stuff going on, and you never know what you're going to find. And whatever you find, it's going to be beautiful. And the more interested you get, the more interesting it gets, because you start to learn what these birds need, what they like, what kind of habitat they like, what their requirements are. And at a certain point, you reach critical mass, and birds become just a way of understanding the physical nature of anywhere you happen to be standing. You can get a sense of what's happening to the natural world, what's happening in the natural world, by paying attention to this portal, which is these very visible, very beautiful, very intelligent bipeds who are kind of like us. Let's see if there's anything worth. Oh, we have there's a Bonaparte's gull. Wait, is that an avocet? I think we have an avocet here. Yes, American avocet, which I'll zoom in on to see its wonderfully upcurved bill. It was only after I'd started to get some recognition for the writing that it became even an option to stop and enjoy myself, to do something just because it was fun, because it was pleasurable, to spend an entire day doing something just because it was pleasurable. That was inconceivable to me. But of course, I bring the same uncomfortable, obsessive personality to birding as I do to anything else. So I can get a little, you know, I can get very angry if I'm not seeing what I'm looking for. Can start to think, oh, this is not pleasure, this is an addiction, I can't leave it alone, I've got to go out, I've got to find a new bird. Bird watching is so grotesquely uncool, it's the last thing I need, something else to make me really uncool. I've written actually a lot about birds for The New Yorker. I keep trying to find new ways to slip it past David Remnick, who I really think couldn't care less about birds. Interesting, just flew there. I don't know what. There are a lot of flies. It smells bad. The light is fantastic. Lovely late afternoon January light. Oh, fantastic bird. Check this guy. I came out here for family reasons and at a certain point realized.
Oh my goodness.
And that's all manure. Oh, that's annoying. Well, I thought I'd keep going. Looks firm, but these shoes are never going to be the same. Well, I sort of. We were skirting the edge of a lake of manure, and I was trying to cross a part that looked like it was solid, but that was just a crust on top, and now I've basically not only the entirety of the outside of my leather boots, but I fear the inside as well, not to mention my pants up past my ankles are coated with sort of liquid manure. Product of the hundreds of cows to our right.
Jonathan Franzen, who better to show us that pleasure comes with a messy price? We did offer to buy Jonathan a new pair of boots, but he said that after a careful hosing down and a coat of polish, you'd never know I stepped in it.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.